Welcome one and all to Through the Balcony, and welcome for the first time to the world of Hyalroth. For those of you joining us here for the first time, I'm Adam, the Dungeon Master for this homebrew campaign. This particular episode and the next few like it are not our usual live play content, which I only specify because I've had family members get confused about that before. Instead, today we're going to explore a little bit of the new world before we fully dive in. Now, if you want to go into the game with a blank slate and learn it all over the course of the story, that is totally alright. However, during the process of making characters, my players were given a primer of the world that covered basic things like magic, religion, and history, and so they're going into this with at least a basic knowledge of the world at large. That way, as we go into the world, I can mention things like countries and gods in passing, until we have a good moment to dive into those details further. So, my goal of these little lore episodes is just to introduce anyone interested to the world just a little bit. No spoilers, but if you aren't interested, come back in a few weeks for the official start of the campaign. I will warn you that this first one is a little more technical since it focuses on the elements that make the backbone of the campaign. Still fun, but you have been warned. For those of you who are going to hang around, welcome to Hyalroth. Hyalroth is a second moon of the gas giant Oshara, orbiting it once a day. As for Oshara itself, it is the fourth planet orbiting the sun Charisdon. Its orbit around the sun is slightly elliptical, and that's the main cause of the seasons on Oshara's moons. At perigee, when the planet is nearest the sun, Hyalroth is at the height of summer, and in winter when it's at apogee. Something of note is that Hyalroth itself is tidally locked to its parent planet. The side of the moon facing Oshara is, unsurprisingly, known as the moon's planetward side, and the side away from it is known as the starward side. On the planetward side, the presence of Oshara in the sky above leads to a different day and night cycle from the starward side, where the sun rises at dawn in the east and sets at night in the west. On the planetward side, the sun rises at first light, and sets for true night when it passes behind the planet in the sky above. True dawn is when the sun rises yet again, and the time when the sun sets is often referred to simply as night, though it is also called Oshara light, as the sun's light reflected from the planet is bright enough to read by. Here would probably be the best time to talk about seasons, though there is a slight challenge to that because magic, the gods, and the seasons are all intimately tied together. A cleverer person might be able to introduce them all at once, but you're stuck with me. So we'll just start with the seasons and delve more deeply into the magic later. Throughout the year, the world goes through two different cycles. The first is the cycle of light and dark, the magics of creation and decay. When Hyalroth is halfway between its apogee and perigee, the power of light and dark are in equilibrium. As the planet moves towards perigee, light waxes to its height before waning back to equilibrium. The cycle then repeats for dark, equilibrium, waxing to full, and waning back to equilibrium again. Within these cycles, there is another cycle within the other three elemental powers of the world, growth, stability, and change. Once per cycle of light or dark, these powers have a period of dominance. Starting from that equilibrium point of light and dark, the magic of growth rises to prominence. It shifts to stability, then change, and then repeats. This happens once per cycle of light and once per cycle of dark, and the combination of these two cycles is the basis of the seasons of Hyalroth. The year starts with spring's blooming, as equilibrium shifts towards light. This is followed by summer's bounty and then autumn's tapestry, before the balance shifts back towards darkness. That shift is marked by the starting of fall's quieting, which eventually leads into winter's respite and then vernal dawn. Each season is 63 days long, dividing up the 378-day-long Hyalroth year. So now that we've talked about how magic affects the seasons, let's get a little bit more into the specifics of it. I will try to keep this as simple as possible. There are five prime elemental forces that shape the magic of Hyalroth. Elemental in the sense that they are the key ingredients that make up all magic, rather than elements like fire, earth, and water specifically. These elements are known as Ea, the element of creation and light, Era, the element of change, Khan, the element of stability, Phi, the element of growth, and Ru, the element of shadow and decay. All magic is made up of these elements. A simple way to look at it would be to compare magic to colors. Just as any color is made up of red, blue, and yellow, and shaded by black and white, all magic is made up of Era, Khan, and Phi, and influenced by Ea and Ru. This means that Ea and Ru work in their own axis that affect the other three. Era, Khan, and Phi directly interact with each other, but they can also be either light or dark aspected. While all magic divine and arcane alike uses these same elements, divine casters, like clerics, draw magic from the source, and arcanists draw magic from the world around them. Some alchemists can even dilute the elemental essence in the plants and minerals in the world and shape them into a form anyone can use. At the end of the day, however, these things all exist in a balance that is critical for all on Hyalroth to live. And overseeing that balance, we have the gods, the embodied will of the elements themselves. There are five gods on Hyalroth whose only purpose is to maintain the careful balance of elements that allows life on the moon to thrive. While they work on a macro scale, it's their clerics, and on rare occasions their champions and avatars, who will work in the world on a daily basis to make sure that problems on a smaller scale are never able to rise to a scale that the gods need to directly intervene. The last time this happened, the world was never the same, but that's a story for next time. The first of the five gods is Ardain. He is known as the Life Giver, Light Bearer, and Creation's Hammer. He rules over the forces of creation and light and guides crafters, builders, and many others. Temples to him are the most common among the gods, and he is very much seen as a protector and guide to the world. His paladins are known as Dawn Knights, and often devote themselves to protecting the world and those that live in it. The second god is Aeora, and they are the first of the three deities influenced by both light and dark. As the god that presides over the powers of change, the effect of those forces on them isn't as easily discerned as with their fellows, as their form is often changing, and thus they only bear one name. Their titles are many, however, they are known as the Endless Ocean, the Weaver, and the Tempest, among many others. Any who spend their time on the water turn to them for guidance, and their temples are often found near the water. The Tidebearers are those that protect the temples, and also seek to ensure safe passage for those upon the rivers and seas of the world. The next god is referred to as Rav as a general term, but the aspect of light or dark they align to gives them two distinct sides, much like a coin. Their light aspected name is Rav-Kai, and she is known as a creator, and the crafter said to form the very land itself. When aligned with Shadow, however, he is known as Ravkin, and he is said to bring tremors to the world where he walks. Any who work with earth or stone or metal, and those that work the land are among those that pay Rav homage. Khan, the power of stability, is the domain of magic they rule over, and the stalwart guard that serve him have been the shield against danger for millennia. The last of the trio is known as Nefen, and much like Rav, they are better known by their aspected names. Nefenth, the light-aspected form, and Nefena, the dark-aligned form, oversee the powers of Fi, the powers of growth. When people speak of Nefenth, they talk about how gentle and encouraging he is, how comforting he is. Nefena, on the other hand, is wary and suspicious. She takes the path she must, with little regard for others. Many travelers and hunters and merchants pay visit to their shrines, but give the Tempest-sworn paladins a wide berth. That brings us to the last of the gods, Ardain's balance, Ruin. She is known as Wither, Decay, Entropy. Few openly worship her, but all respect and fear her. Her duty is necessary, as she rules over the powers of shadow and decay. Though least loved among the gods, she carries on with her task without cease. Her clerics and her fate knights are rarely seen, but much like shadows, she is never far away. There are other powerful beings in the world, such as the primordial dragons, or the god simply known as the Keeper, that watches over the souls of the dead. But out of all of them, Ruin is the only one with a day wholly devoted to her. The day at the very center of Winter's Respite is known as the Day of Remembrance, a day when the world goes dark, all light seeming to abandon it. It is a day to gather with those you love and reflect on the past, reflect and remember what matters to you. It is a day that also serves as a reminder that Ruin should be respected, for it is said she was the one that brought the decimation nearly 2 millennia ago. But, like I said, we'll get to that next time when we cover the history of Hyalroth. For now, hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll be back soon, but until then, take care.